Time now for Minnesota Reads. And on the line with us, Phyllis Root, who wrote a book illustrated by Betsy Bowen and one other artist whose name Phyllis is going to pronounce for me. Hey, Phyllis, good morning. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. Well, I'm pretty sure it's Becky Prangy, but I'm very bad at how you pronounce names.
Because it could be Prang.
Becky.
It could be Prang. It could be Prangy.
I know. I'm so sorry. I'm embarrassed that I don't know how to say it.
Okay. Well, then we're going to have to give her a call and find out. This is.
Yes, and apologize to her if I said it wrong.
This is a marvelous, marvelous counting book, but it isn't. Just, you know, the illustrations, you would definitely think Betsy Bowen if you saw the illustrations, but it isn't, you know, a situation where, like, there's one otter and there's just one otter on the page. You have to kind of look to see all of the different things that you're counting in the illustrations. Phyllis, I'm always fascinated to learn how these collaborations between writers and artists come about, because you're almost never in the same town, much less the same room, or working on the thing side by side. So what came first, the pictures or the words?
The words came first, and I have huge amounts of sympathy for the artists who both did a fabulous job, because I started counting up how many different things there were on these pages and how many different images there were, and it's mind-boggling to me what you would have to fit into a single picture, and they did it just spectacularly well. So yeah, the words came first. I was working on a counting book for the University of Minnesota Press, and we decided it should be about the different kind of habitats in Minnesota. And then I thought it might be really interesting to make it be sort of a downward counting picture book, so that you have two of this, one of this, and then three of this, two of this, one of this. And each habitat would be different. And then just to make it a little harder, I thought it should sort of follow the seasons. And then just for my own self, which is kind of crazy, I never wanted to use the same verb more than once. So this was a puzzle to put together.
I should say. Now, I just opened a page at random to read just a little page here. 6 sandhill cranes forage in the grass. 5 showy lady slippers bloom in a bunch. 4 aspen trees quake. 3 elk graze. 2 gray wolves watch from a wolf willow thicket. 1 northern prairie skink basks in the sun in the aspen parkland under 1 north star. So that kind of gives folks a sense of how you put that together. The verb thing, how did that come about? I mean, I think it's a wonderful idea to challenge yourself as a writer. Is that kind of what was behind that?
Was, I mean, because this became in the end as much a puzzle as anything. You know, I did a lot of research on what you would find where, at what time of year, and Becky in particular was very helpful because she has, I think, a biology background as well as an artist background. On phenology, you know, like, that really wouldn't be blooming at that time with that whatever. So I did a lot of research, talked to a lot of people, and as it became a puzzle, I really didn't want to be, I mean, it would be easy enough, I think, or it would be, not easy, it would make sense to say, these flowers bloom, these flowers bloom, these birds fly, these birds fly, but I just wanted it to be a little more interesting than that.
Well, it's a wonderful opportunity. I've thought so many, many times that although I was blessed to be the child of 2 English teachers, you don't get a vocabulary unless you read, because you can't in conversation use all the words and have the usage of them or the familiarity with them be reinforced. If you don't read, you're not going to get the words you need.
And that's interesting. Yeah, I think that's, you know, and to read out loud, to hear the words, to have the sort of sound of them and the rhythm of them and the feel of them in your mouth. In picture books, that's particularly important. But yeah, I think children love the sound of words. They love learning words and saying them and playing with them.
There's a meme on social media that I've gotten a kick out of about being embarrassed when you say a word because you've only read it, but you've never heard it in conversation.
Oh, yeah.
So you pronounce it wrong. But, you know.
I've done that.
As they say, dare greatly. Go ahead. Pull that word out, by golly. Or, you know, or cheat. And, you know, when you run across it, look it up on your phone and then hit the little pronounce button so you can hear how it's said.
Work for Becky's name, though.
Probably not. She is a biologist, though, and either she or Betsy did wonderful, actually, woodcuts of the three of you, and they're on the back flap.
Yeah,
of this
I think
book.
Betsy did those, and all the rest of the art, they basically collaborated, which I think is wonderful. You know, it's never just one person anyway who makes a picture book. It's always the result of a kind of a community of people. Even if you never meet them or never see them, you're still all working on the same book.
It really is fascinating how our technology has enabled such, you know, incredible collaborations between people that could never have been possible before.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true.
This is a wonderful read, Phyllis. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. What a treat.
Thank you so much for having me.
Phyllis Root, our guest this morning on Minnesota Reads, her book, One North Star. She wrote it, and the illustrations are by Becky Prangy and Betsy Bowen. And Becky, we'll find out how your last name is pronounced and make apologies if we need to. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.